kids, it's your time to go and learn and grow with them.
Goodbye.
I was standing before you this morning a little nervous because in our midst we have three very special guests. One is one of the original founders of this church, from another is a spy from Rick Burrell's church in Strong Nations. I know she's come up here and saw her up here, and I felt very intimidated. The last is our president of one of the great institutions that I spent way far too much time with. So, welcome all. I'm sorry to say, you've all come for nothing. But today, I come to you with nothing. It's not as though I knew this day wasn't coming. I've been praying, reading, and searching. And still, I come up with nothing. Just when I thought I had something, I came to church last week to listen to Joe preach on what we need, the need of the Holy Spirit, which we do. But it was well covered, far better than I would. So I was brought back to nothing. With the days fast ticking by, that whole prayer and many thoughts racing through my head, all I was getting was nothing. But that's not that unusual coming from my head. So today, I hope you'll stay, listen, and learn about nothing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. The opening words from the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2. Or in my words, there was nothing before Yahweh, in his sovereignty, started the process of taking nothing and turning it into something. But not just something, but everything. And if you can get your head around that, your head and shoulders above me, above my thought processes. But just as thought blows my mind, the more I reflect on it, the more blown away I am. Just the natural world that I've been blessed to see here in this tiny dot in the cosmos is mind-blowing and awe-inspiring. And that is before I've even turned my head toward and looked upon it on the night sky. Do you ever just look up and ponder and wonder why and how this all could be? We can do nothing and give us this universe that stretches far beyond us, all mind can imagine. Who can do all this and still consider me? Questions I can't answer. Questions that far greater minds have considered and probed over millennia. And they've given many explanations. But I come in blind faith and say, God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has done this. Because my faith is not that strong to believe that from nothing, something would have been and gave us everything. Everything turning and performing like clockwork. Well, that takes a faith far greater than what I have, and yet a faith that offers no hope. So I take comfort from the scriptures. Scriptures like Isaiah 55:9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. No, I may never know all the answers, but I can know the one who does. And that's all he wants from us. He wants us to come and know him. He wants nothing from us but our hearts. And gives us something, salvation. As far as I know, this is the only time he took nothing and turned it into nothing. Because when we look at nothing, we turn it into everything, so there is no more nothing. We may think we have nothing, or that we are nothing, But there is no more nothing. It's all here now. Even in future generations. He went to bless Abraham for his faith with great generation. So he did so using the womb that was already made, the seed already there. Though in the eyes of man, way past the use of God. Even the owner of that said womb, Sarah, laughed. At the thought that Yahweh, who made everything from nothing, took a woman, well advanced in age, and gave a child, Isaac. And from that child came another, Jacob, and gave birth to the tribe of Israel, and the great nation. If we still perceive we have nothing, perspective that will lead to anxiety, worry, and fear, all of which I'll certainly lead me to today. But when we have this take hold of our lives, all it does is hold us back. Just look at that great nation Israel, a nation with no land. They are at this point still wandering in the desert. They don't know the promise of the land of God will come. Reading from Exodus 33. And the Lord said to Moses, depart, and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, and the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. They have certainly forgotten that promise, and we read through Numbers 13:17-20. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, go up this way into the south, and go up to the mountains, and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many. Whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time of the season is when the first ripe breaks. God told them, go out and spy on him. But did you know that we are numbered people? That we need first to see and yeah. Believe? And so they went to see for themselves what God had promised. And they came back with this report in verses 25-33. And they returned from the line of things, spying out the land after 40 days. And they departed and came to Moses and Aaron and all the generations of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people dwelling in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of the Anak there. The Amorites, the Anakites, dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land from which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the sons of the man, come from the giants. And And we were like grasshoppers in their own sight. And so we were in their sight. But 10 looked upon their own circumstances, their own strengths and abilities. Yeah. And portrayed a sense of fear unto the people. Yes, they gave a true report of what was before them, but they had forgotten what was behind them.
Yeah,
yeah. We too could easily fall into this trap. Looking at the daunting task of what is before us and forgetting who is behind us. Or expanding his kingdom here on earth can look impossible. But we need to remember that it's his job, not ours. Jesus speaking, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against me. Matthew 16. Where is Jesus that builds his church? It's just that he uses people like Paul, Peter, Joe, Tom, Dick, and Harry, in order to confidently say that you, Jesus, are the Christ, the Son of the living God. For as 1 John 5:1 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Well, this is the foundation stone on which he builds. Yes, the giants are before us, and Satan does have a firm hold over where we've been promised. But we have the Almighty Son of Jesus behind us. And he has given us something to assist in that building. Now though we think that we have nothing to give, nothing to offer, we're an liar. But that is a lie of Satan. We are created in the image of God, who from nothing created everything. And so he has given us something to do his thing, build. We're all different, and all gifted differently. But that's the way it needs to be. For if we're all good at doing the one thing, there would be too many other things left undone. Or as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace given to us, let us use them in prophecy, then prophesy in proportion to your faith. In ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. From Romans 12, 3-8. Now this is not an exhaustive listing of the needs of the body, but you get the gist. We all have something in some way to contribute. I know it can be a little daunting, especially at first, but we need to work through the fear of failure falling flat on our faces. Let's face it, we all will. But if we're in a loving body, we'll be held back to our feet and given the chance to try again. So don't let fear keep us back, for your talents are not exclusive to you. They are there for building up the body. The parable of the 10 talents clearly shows the need to invest. I'm reading this parable from Matthew 25, 14 to 29. Well, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. He called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. And he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, He who had received two, gained two more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. I gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, my good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew when you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited your money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. It was in fear that the last man went and buried his talent. Fear that he might lose it. But the opposite is true. Use it or lose it, it's day saved. This same stems in this Bible verse. It's something that most of us know, but we still all struggle to find and exercise our gifts. But trust me, we all have something to give. Envy can also be a hindrance as we begin to develop our gifts. We can wish we were as good as such and such, desiring what they have and can achieve, which will only lead to resentment. No, it's more beneficial to aspire to be like someone, which hopefully will drive us on. We have all had our heroes and people that have inspired us, but we can never come up to it. We've seen we always fall short to reach the heights they have. But remember that not all receive the same at the start. It's not a matter of what heights we reach as much as it is about using the gifts and opportunities we are given. The boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes took his gift before the Lord, which gave Jesus the opportunity to feed thousands. Yeah. Is this same Jesus just waiting for you and I to present him our gift that he can feed thousands more? Solomon, in his wisdom, wrote, ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you may receive a return. Invest in 7 ventures. Yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, may pour rain on the earth, whether the tree falls to the south or to the north. In the place where it falls, there will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not reap. Whoever looks to the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in the mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Say your sin in the morning, and in the evening, let your hands not be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do it to you well. And in Ecclesiastes 11:26. These words of Solomon sum up the risk versus reward. For to send your brain across the sea is risky business, which requires a commitment, as well as an act of faith. But if the grain is kept on the ground, would only rot and give up over them, with nothing to show for his hard work. But by sending it out, risking that it may be lost at sea, the reward generally come in. But great patience is also needed, for the reward is never immediate. When the gains are so great, and so too it is with the sinning soul. He also emphasizes that there is no right time to sow or harvest. Whoever watches the wind will not reap. Whoever looks to the clouds will not reap. Now every farmer knows there is a season for planting and for reaping, and we shouldn't wait for the perfect conditions to do so. For by doing this, we will always find or make excuses not to venture out. It may make no sense to us what or why we live here. But for instance, why do we do church? Why do we run youth services? Or go to schools and teach scripture? It may be many years before we see the results. But Yahweh is watching it and growing it, even though we may not see it. But we should be expectant of the harvest, just as a farmer is when he puts the seed to the ground. Know that we have done our thing and trusted that God will do his thing. So invest your talent, great or small, into the field you roam, and one day a harvest will be presented to you, here or in the life to come. But when we sow, we must sow with love. If I have the gift of prophecy, I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and give my body to hardship, that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is the fertilizer that will ensure a bountiful harvest. Commodity today that is more precious than gold, for it is in short supply but in great demand. For we see hate arising around the world. It's heartbreaking watching the evening news and hear the rise of violence at every level, in our homes, on the streets, through the halls of power. And it can affect us all, eating in our own hearts, leaving them cold and as hard as the door around us. The spies of good Israel may have felt the same, but will end our promise with hard and cold and full of hate. The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that we vow to turn to heaven. The times may change, but we have not. They saw a people who vowed forever. This is what we see today. The same God who ruled then rules now. And he is the God of love. So we need to tap into this source of love if we wish to impact this world. For in the end, we of ourselves will always fall short. Yes, we all have the capacity to love. We are called to love and make it deeper level. We are all called to love our enemy. We have heard that it is said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray those who persecute you, that you may be children of the Father in heaven. This from the most famous sermon by the most famous teacher, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, from Matthew 5. This is a challenge for all of us. To slide out of ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to step in. For it is only with Him and through Him that we can possibly love like this. I do not have love, I gain nothing. I do not have love, I gain nothing. But I'm here to tell you that you do have love. The love of the Father. So you are something. And you have everything. Reading from John, John 15:1-5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that comes not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So there we have it. Unless we abide in Christ, grafted well into the vine, sticking to him like a friend of the brother, we can do nothing. Our branches will have no fruit, therefore, no love. And without love, we gain nothing. I hope you have gained and learned something from this sermon or nothing. If nothing else, I hope you realize that we are before a God who out of nothing made everything. That He has given us something. Something to do His thing. He hasn't just given us everything because we would no longer rely on Him or anyone else. But He has given us a community, a church community, so the gaps can be filled and His good news can go forth and produce a heart. I ask you to consider this week what gifts you have, what you can offer. Just pray the Holy Spirit will use you as you grow in love with Him. The same thing, if you listen to one another, I pray you have something. Thank you.